It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello, welcome. It is January 20th, 2021, and it's Inauguration Day in the United States. Thanks for tuning in. Just go ahead here and fire up Calm. Calm is, since this is a live show, Calm is the chat room. No IRC here, that's too new. We gotta use Calm. Or feel free to post on Bboard. Let's go type up, just take 1 second. All right, boom. It always feels good to see that cool ASCII art topic whenever you enter the Anon Radio Room. Welcome. See Miko XYZ and W Visser have joined up. Yeah. It's news time. All right, so let's get started the way we always do.
World news.
That's right.
World news.
We're going to whirl up the blender. So, let's go ahead and get going. We'll cover the world news first. There's a lot of excitement because Joe Biden got sworn in today. It was pretty cool. But, you know, the world's still spinning. So, what I did was I made sure to grab these headlines, I don't know, around 3 a.m. this morning when I couldn't sleep. So, let's start. 7 Hong Kong bank staff arrested in a $1.07 billion money laundering probe. 7 former and current bank employees have been arrested in Hong Kong as part of a major operation against a U.S. $810 million. Oh, that's the cost. It's 1.07 billion Singapore dollars. International Money Laundering Syndicate Police said on Wednesday. It's the largest case we've busted in recent years, said Mr. Yip Wing Lam, a superintendent at the Commercial Crime Bureau, adding it was the first time local bank staff had been arrested for involvement in money laundering. Police declined to name the banks those arrested worked for. Investigators said those detained are alleged to have helped a key Hong Kong-based member of the syndicate apply for business accounts, including falsifying company documents and coaching applicants for interviews. At least 14 business accounts were opened between 2017 and 2018, using the names of 16 people from mainland China and Belgium. The accounts handled a total of $6.3 billion in Hong Kong dollars. Oh, they just keep converting it to different amounts, different currencies. It's the same amount. The accounts handled a total of 1.07 billion Singapore dollars in illicit funds. Police said much of the money could be traced to a number of foreign countries, including Italy, Germany, and Vietnam. Some $1 million in U.S. cash was seized at the public housing apartment of one of those arrested. Hong Kong is a major international business hub and a key conduit for China to access international markets. It bills itself as one of the world's most free economies, but transparency campaigners have long complained that lack of regulations make it an easy place to launder money. Money laundering carries sentences of up to 14 years in jail and a fine of Hong Kong $5 million. Hey, welcome, Tom. Welcome, Publius. Thanks for listening, and thanks for being around. And just a big shout-out to everyone who's in the Anon Radio Room, including Ratsu and Mr. Oates, JWH and Jazzmaz, and Hunor at Re. All right. So, this was one of the first stories I read from Straits Times. I don't know. I won't read from Mothership, but I do like... Singapore is pretty cool, so I like reading about that. Or reading different stories from there. So, pretty neat. Okay. Sorry, I'm clicking. All right, going to Iran now. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani urged the incoming U.S. administration to return to a 2015 nuclear agreement and lift sanctions on Tehran while welcoming the end of tyrant President Donald Trump's era. U.S. President-elect, well, now President Joe Biden, who who took office today, has said the United Nations will rejoin the pact, which includes restrictions on Iran's nuclear work if Tehran resumes strict compliance. The ball is now in the U.S. court. If Washington returns to Iran's 2015 nuclear deal, we will also fully respect our commitments under the pact, Rouhani said in a televised cabinet meeting. Today we expect the incoming U.S. administration to return to the rule of law and commit themselves, and if they can, in the next 4 years, to remove all the black spots of the previous 4 years. Tensions have grown between Tehran and Washington since 2018, when Trump quit the deal. So, we'll see what happens. I'm hopeful, but I'm cautious. It's one of those things, you know, anytime we get a new guy, you gotta feel him out, see what's gonna happen. Ugh. Sorry, I have some world news mixed in with my tech news, and I'm having to move it around. So, here we go. Haitian boy, 9, detained as Trump's family separation policy pursued to the bitter end. In the final hours of the Trump presidency, immigration officials detained a 9-year-old Haitian boy with a valid U.S. visa, separated from his elder brother, and incarcerated him. Vladimir Fardin arrived in San Francisco from Haiti on Sunday on a tourist visa. He was traveling with his 19-year-old brother, Christian Laporte, who had been studying in Diablo Valley College outside San Francisco and had a valid student's visa. The two boys had been on a Christmas vacation with their mother to Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic, and Vladimir was flying back to California with Christian to spend some time with his elder brother and their godmother, who acts as their guardian in the U.S. They were detained by border officials at San Francisco Airport and held for 2 days without being allowed to contact family, lawyers, or community organizings. On Tuesday morning, they were separated. 9-year-old Vladimir was sent to a refugee settlement facility in Southern California as an unaccompanied minor, and Christian was deported to Mexico, apparently because that was where their connecting flight from Santo Domingo was from. As of Tuesday evening, Vladimir has not been allowed to contact or be contacted by his family or support groups. We're extremely worried because Vladimir has never spent time alone, Geraldine Joseph, the head of the Haitian Bridge Alliance Community Group, said. He's 9 years old, and his older brother has been extremely protective of him and taking care of him, so this is beyond cruel. So, yeah, there you go. Just so you know, even though Biden's president now, we still have, you know, hundreds of kids in cages under overpasses in Texas, so, the camps are still there and full of small children whose blood and tears, I guess, fuel our empire's turbines. I don't know why we are still doing this. It's awful. All right. Sorry, that was a U.S. story that slipped in. But let's talk about something good. Jack Ma reappeared. It was... for a while, we thought he was a goner. Well, according to Reuters, Alibaba Group founder Jack Ma made his first appearance since October on Wednesday when he spoke to a group of teachers by video, easing concern about his unusual absence from public life and sending shares in the e-commerce giant surging. Speculation over Ma's whereabouts has swirled in the wake of news this month that he was replaced in the final episode of a reality TV show he'd been a judge on, and amid a regulatory clampdown by Beijing on his sprawling business empire. The billionaire, who commands a cult-like reverence in China, had not appeared in public since October 24th, when he blasted China's regulatory system in a speech at a Shanghai forum. That set him on a collision course with officials and led to the suspension of a blockbuster $37 billion IPO for Alibaba's finance affiliate Ant Group. Alibaba and his charitable foundation both confirmed he participated in an online ceremony for an annual event for rural teachers on Wednesday. In the 50-second video, Ma, wearing a navy pullover, spoke from a room with gray walls, a large painting, and floral arrangements. It's not clear where the room was. Alibaba's Hong Kong listed shares jumped over 10% on the news. So, it's very exciting. Glad he's okay, or at least he appears to be okay. Ayo, X1. See you in a minute. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's jump over to the UK. UK inflation starts to climb as effects of COVID and Brexit combine. And then they have a photo, a nice photo of like a walkway, like people are walking down some stairs. And there are 8 people with masks out of about 20. 22, 23. Yeah, about 30 people. There's 8 people with masks, which is great. This is a file photo taken on December 5th. All right. Consumer prices rose 0.6% in annual terms after a 0.3% increase in November. A Reuters poll of economists has pointed to a rate of 0.5%. A temporary easing of COVID-19 travel restrictions helped to push up air and sea fares, while a rise in global oil prices made fuel more expensive and the price of clothes also rose. Inflation has been below the Bank of England's 2% target since mid-2019, and the COVID-19 pandemic pushed it to close to zero as the economy tanked. But it is likely to rise as the impact of value-added tax cuts and other emergency pandemic measures fade from the statistical comparisons, and because of Britain's new, less open trading relationship with the European Union. European Union. We're going to be talking a lot more about inflation in 2021 than we did in 2020, said Jeremy Thompson Cook, an economist at foreign exchange company Equals Group. Both Brexit and COVID-19 are factors that have caused substantial pain for businesses and their supply chain. So we'll see how that plays out. Hopefully, I'm sure we're all hoping that the pandemic will die down before the UK suffers too much. We'll see. US news. All right, here it is. Boop. China rushes to build quarantine center and new COVID-19 hotspot of Hebei. It's Hebei, so I'm not sure how you would say that. I think Hebei. Thousands of prefabricated rooms fill a vast field on the outskirts of China's Shijiazhuang city as construction crews work around the clock to erect a large facility to curb the city's growing outbreak. And that city name is this. Ah. Thanks, X1. I appreciate that. That's true. It's like kind of hard to wrap your head around sometimes. But just to talk about the economy thing again, the inflation has been below the Bank of England's 2% target since mid-2019, and the COVID-19 pandemic pushed it close to zero. So inflation has been nearly flat while they were trying to have a steady 2% inflation rate. And the believed contributing factors are the COVID outbreak and the Brexit deal, because substantial pain. The business supply chains are having trouble. All right. So yeah, China is building a bunch of temporary buildings out in near a hotspot. Work began on January 13th as northern Chinese cities placed millions under lockdown over hundreds of new infections in recent weeks. Over 20,000 residents of villages and their surrounding Hebei province have been sent into quarantine and centralized facilities. Meanwhile, millions of local residents have been tested for the virus multiple times. China is on high alert for potential wave of cases triggered by the upcoming Lunar New Year holiday, which is expected to pose massive challenges to virus prevention, senior national health official Wang Bin said last week. Millions of city dwellers are set to travel to their hometowns for celebrations. Virus cases have surged around the world in recent weeks, with a global death toll now past 2 million. So, very chilling there. One of the things, I was up late because I had a meeting with some people in China, and it was just so striking. It was funny because I'm talking, and then it's like they're in the office, so they're wearing office clothes. I'm wearing t-shirt and shorts because I'm at home in the middle of the night. And it was a stark contrast, and I thought it was funny. And then a group of people walked by, and no one's wearing that you don't have to wear a mask in Shanghai, or they're not mandating it anymore. And so just a group of people walking without masks walk by, and it was so weird. It was a very interesting experience because it was both exciting to see people, because I haven't seen people in a while, and then people not wearing masks. So I thought that was kind of cool. Anyway, let's jump up. Oh, we're about halfway through. We're at 16 past, which means we're over halfway past time. So we're going to play a quick song, and then we're going to talk about some tech news, and then maybe if we have time, we'll talk about the big news of the day, of course, the inauguration and all that business. So anyway, welcome, Pimple. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for everybody for listening. I've got Don't Do Me Like That by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right, and coming up in just about 10 minutes, you've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. And he's the chairman of the committee. Lots of fun stuff happening there. And if you can't catch it live, you can always check it out on the archive. Just go to anonradio.net, and there's a link for archives. And right there at the top is the previous day's shows, or the most recent show for the previous day. So if you ever miss this show or want to hear it again for some reason, you can go right there. Go to anonradio.net and click on the archive link. So let's go ahead and talk about the tech news. So there's a few cool science-y topics and also tech stuff. So let's run through them real quick. First up, Google investigates ethical AI team member over handling of sensitive data. Alphabet Inc.'s Google is investigating a member of its ethical AI team and has locked the corporate account linked to that person after finding that thousands of files were retrieved from its server and shared with external accounts, the company said on Wednesday. Axios, which first reported the investigation around a member of the team, said Margaret Mitchell had been using automated scripts to look through her messages to find examples showing discriminatory behavior, discriminatory treatment of Timnit Gebru, a former employee in the AI team who was fired. We talked about that a few times when she was fired because employees protested and were very upset about that. Basically, she had done some research that was critical or didn't show what Google wanted it to show, and so they fired her and didn't publish the research. Gabru, who's black, was a top AI research ethics researcher at Google and was fired in December. When Gabru claimed she was sacked for criticizing the diversity efforts within Google's AI unit, the company disputed it. Our security systems automatically lock an employee's corporate account when they detect that the account is at risk of compromise due to credential problems or when an automated rule involving the handling of sensitive data has been triggered. We are actively investigating this matter as part of standard procedures to gather additional details. Mitchell did not immediately respond to a request for comment via her LinkedIn account. Who's actively using LinkedIn? I go there to update my resume, I don't know, every couple of years maybe? Or if that, the only reason I have an account is because work has a free LinkedIn Learning. We had a Lynda account, and then now we have a LinkedIn Learning account. That's the only reason I've gone there in years. Anyway, Google's diversity efforts have been questioned by employees and adds to years of angst, including several resignations and firings in the AI department, raising doubts whether the company's efforts to minimize the potential harms of its services are sufficient. And yeah, I doubt it. Google's shown they're not good, bad, or evil. They're kind of that lawful evil, you know? Use at your own risk. China's would-be chip darling, Tsinghua Unigroup, bedeviled by debt and bad debts. Bad bets. So, Tsinghua Unigroup, a Chinese conglomerate that's long sought to become a semiconductor powerhouse, is now caught between a rock and a hard place as debt woes mount while key chip units are failing to thrive. Best known for an unsuccessful $23 billion bid for U.S. chipmaker Micron Technology, Inc. in 2015, Unigroup in November shocked investors with a default on a 1.3 billion yuan or $200 million bond. Including that bond, Unigroup has now either defaulted or had cross default triggered on 7 onshore and offshore bonds worth about $3.6 billion. The state-backed conglomerate, which has warned it may not be able to make upcoming bond payments, had some $31 billion in debts as of late June, more than half of which was due to mature in a year's time. In contrast, it had roughly $8 billion in cash and cash equivalents. Crisis has raised questions about Unigroup's long-term stability and how much backing the conglomerate, which is 51% owned by Tsinghua University, will continue to be given by Beijing. The central government, keen to develop a weak domestic chip industry, has invested billions of dollars in Unigroup projects, as well as in other chip makers such as SMIC, Sierra Mike, India, Charlie. Unigroup's efforts to raise more capital have, however, been stymied by the university's attempts to offload its stake in line with the change in government policy in 2018, which called for higher education institutes to divest their business holdings. So, that's kind of what's going on there. Two last quick stories that I thought were cool, funny. One, they found a preserved dinosaur butthole, which is kind of funny and interesting. The first dinosaur butthole ever discovered is shedding light where the sun don't shine. The discovery reveals how dinosaurs used a multi-purpose opening, specifically known as a cloacal vent, for pooping, peeing, breeding, and egg laying. The dinosaur's derriere was so well preserved, researchers could see the remnants of two small bulges, which might have housed musky scent glands that the reptile possibly used during courtship, an anatomical quirk also seen in living crocodiles. Although the dinosaur's caboose shares some characteristics with the backsides of other living creatures, it's also a one-of-a-kind opening. The anatomy is unique, stated lead researcher Jacob Venter, a paleobiologist at the University of Bristol in the UK, told Life Science. It doesn't quite look like the opening on birds, which are the closest living relatives. It does look a bit like the back opening of a crocodile, he said, but it's different in some way. And it's its own cloaca, shaped in its perfect, unique way. So, very, very silly there. But, hey, we gotta learn, you know, it's cool that we're learning more. Anytime you learn more is always cool, I think. And NASA finds cause of the mega rocket test shutdown. If you're a big NASA head or you're following the space race or just space exploration in general, you may already be familiar with this. An issue with hydraulic systems led to the premature shutdown of a key test for NASA's new mega rocket. Officials said the way components had been set up to respond in the test was a little conservative and that this led to the early stop. Contrary to early there are people studying everything possible out there. Even in the pandemic. Officials said the way components had been set up was a little conservative. Contrary to earlier concerns, there is no sign of damage to the huge core stage of the Space Launch System. Space Launch System, or SLS. More powerful even than the Apollo-era Saturn V, the SLS will return astronauts to the moon this decade. Hydraulics are used to generate power under using pressurized fluids. The rocket consists of a core stage with four RS-25, that's Romeo Sierra 25 engines at its base, and two smaller solid rocket boosters attached to the sides. Later this year, it had been due to launch NASA's next-generation crew vehicle, Orion, on a loop around the moon. No astronauts will be aboard for that mission, which is primarily intended to test the hardware. NASA is still undecided about whether it will try to rerun the test or ship the 65-meter-long vehicle section to Florida's Kennedy Space Center, where it will be prepared for its maiden flight. Despite speculation that the November 2021 launch date will slip, officials said the SLS could still make that date. On Saturday, engineers from NASA and Boeing, the rocket's prime contractor, conducted a hot-fire test of the rocket's powerful RS-25 engines at Stennis Space Center near Bay St. Louis in Mississippi. So, really cool. Welcome, Froggy Me. The main engine of the space shuttle. Cool. Well, so that's kind of cool. That's what's going on. We're less than 2 minutes away. We've only got about a minute or so to go. So, minute and a half, I guess. So we'll just go through a quick headlines. Powerful winds are spiking new blazes in California. So, good luck to them. Josh Hawley blocks Biden cabinet appointment. This Missouri senator faces calls for his resignation after amplifying false claims of electoral fraud, both before and after the siege. He's also the guy that he's just the guy that was very strongly pro-Trump and pro what was going on at the Capitol. Now they have to do a whole full Senate vote to confirm one of his cabinet appointments. It was just a dick move. And what's the last one? That's about it. Thanks for tuning in. You guys have a great day. I'll be back tomorrow on Thursday.
Well, today's that Wednesday. Sound means that
don't forget,
our time's
I always
come
mess
to an
up.
End. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow. And every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.